Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today, we're going to talk about some things about business that can help you get to where you are now to where you want to be. And some of these things are opportunities for you to think about and how you can relate to marketing your business and taking it to the next level. And one of the things that you need to consider are what it would be that you need to think about and how to take it there. What I want you to do is close your eyes and start thinking. Because let me tell you a story about how business has changed over the years. We don't always realize that back in the early part of the 20th century, you had the small businessmen. And what did they do? Many of them brought with them the skills that they had from their home country. And if you've ever watched Fiddler on the Roof, and you remember, what they did was they would take their wares, put it on the push cart or the wagon, and they would go from business to business. Then, when they came to this country or when they came to the United States, when they immigrated, many of them did the same thing, only what did they do? They put their wares on push carts and they sold them on street corners. And I always remembered that my father talked about how his father sold fruit from the push cart. And my mother, even though she was raised in New York, her father's family, when they immigrated to the United States from Russia, they also settled in Savannah, and they had the general store there. That general store is now known as the Crystal Beer Parlor. So, as you can see, what we've been talking about is how business has changed. And many of the first generation that were born in this country, what they did was they went to work for the corporation after they came back from the war. And many of them went to fight because they believed in the United States and what the United States stood for. In a way, what you're seeing with the election this year is you're seeing Trump play on people's fears on business, and what he's trying to do is if you go back to when this country was established back in the early part of the 20th century, what happened was for many of them, it was that the way they looked at things, the way they took their obligation to their home country, they wanted to give back what they had gotten. And in that generation, they went to work for the corporation, they worked their way up into management, and then as they got into management, what they did was they they looked at it as, you know, it was an unwritten rule at that time that you had a job for life. But in reality, and so that what happened was after 25 years, many of them retired and they had a retirement party and they were given a gold watch as their going away as for their times of service to the corporation. So how that then their children, known as the baby boomer generation, what they did was they went to work with the corporation so that they could, and they, and because at that time it was unwritten rule that you had a job for life, that many of them expected to work for the company for and give service to the same company in the same way that their parents had. But what happened at that time was that many that companies started merging and they had more than one person in the job market doing the same job. So what did they do? They started to cut back. And so in that essence, many of them, as they left the job market, they found that they had to look for other opportunities. And in doing so, it created an opportunity for them to go out and start their own jobs. And that was the beginning of the dot-com era. But the way it was done and the in essence, the way society looked at it, there were a lot of loopholes that were not addressed. And it was also that it was an inflated time. And so there was a collapse. But one of the things that I want to talk to you about is a time for giving leadership. Because when you look at those opportunities, as you look at what was going on, that as you started and when you were working for a company and you moved into upper management and middle management, then what was happening was you were learning the skills that could take you to another level. And what is a good leader? So we're in the silly season, the time of the United States presidential primaries, and which just finished. And one effect of the media assault is that it makes us examine this thing, this force in our lives called leadership. And why is it important to understand what leadership is in today's marketplace? Because when you look at the opportunities, at the things that you achieve in your lifetime, you need to be aware of what is a good leader and how you can take those skills into the workplace and take part in outgoing volunteerism, because you want to leave a legacy. So it's easy to think of leadership as something that relates only to the elite few, the CEO, the president, the general, the boss. But silly season, notwithstanding, leadership happens everywhere in our relationships, in our families, our communities, in our work, and in every domain of our lives. Whether you are leading an industry or a social movement, leading a department of a company or your own entrepreneurial venture, leading a community or helping to lead a friend through tough times, you are bound to find yourself in a position of leadership. The question is, not whether we're called to leadership. We all are. The question is how we answer that call, because there are two kinds of leadership. You can take leadership or you can give leadership. Taking leadership in its classic, most dramatic guise is the general who seizes power, the armed revolutionary who topples the king and takes his throne, the corporate raider or the engineers, a takeover, Cassius and Brutus assassinating Caesar, Alexander Haig declaring moments after Reagan's shooting, "I'm in charge," which is not to say that taking leadership is necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes, especially in times of turbulence or trouble, the situation desperately calls for someone to grab the wheel, take the helm, and assume the place of decision-making before the ship hits the rocks and flounders. And it doesn't have to be a crisis. Sometimes when things are simply stuck, it can be helpful to gently take the lead and move things in a given direction. And I want to stop here because we're talking about leadership and we're in the midst of a presidential election. And you've got Trump from the Republicans and you've got Clinton from the Democrats. Clinton was not only first lady, but she was Secretary of State, and she was part of Obama's administration. Plus, she was a senator. And she has the respect of the other countries, even if she's not very well respected in her own country. And then on the other hand, you have Trump, who is a businessman and has basically gone into bankruptcy four times in his own company and denied that he ever filed bankruptcy because he never wanted to pay his debts, even though, and he has never even put out any of his tax returns. Why? Because most of his money is over in tax-free places where he doesn't even have to file income tax in his own country. That's why he has never been willing to open up and submit his tax returns to the public for review. Also, think about it. A president really has very little control over what happens in their own country. But when it comes to the security of their country, they have maximum control. And if you listen to the things that Trump has said, I would hate to see him with the ability to basically start a nuclear war. Why? Because that's the one thing that he could do. If you listen to his rhetoric, he has angered everyone outside of his own country. And yes, he said some things that people want to hear. And why he got elected was simply because if you look back over the Republican Party over the last 20 years, why did the Tea Party get into power as Republicans? Because the Republicans were dissatisfied with the tried and true politician. They wanted something new. And basically, the same thing was going on in how Trump got elected. It was more of a dissatisfaction with the up and down straight politician, so they were going for the outsider. And it's not that Trump is a good leader, because in his own business, He has failed many times. And most of his money has come because he's a reality star. He's had his own reality shows. First with The Apprentice, and then people weren't watching that, so it was switched over to being The Celebrity Apprentice. So more people watched it. And then not only that, but he owned the rights to all of these, like, I think, what is it, the Miss Universe contest. So whenever that aired, or whenever those contests were put on, he was making money off of it. So, which is not to say that taking leadership is necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes, especially in times of turbulence and trouble, the situation desperately calls for someone to grab the wheel, take the helm, and assume the place of decision making before the ship hits the rocks and flounders. And it doesn't have to be in crisis. Sometimes when things are simply stuck, it can be helpful to gently take the lead and move things in a given direction. But taking leadership, no matter what the context, carries within itself a risk, because taking it is taking. Leadership taken so easily slips into dominance, and dominance into tyranny. Then there is the other kind of leadership, giving leadership. Rather than seizing the wheel, giving leadership is taking a friend's hand and laying it on the wheel. Rather than stepping up to be the one others follow, it is being the one who encourages and supports others to step up themselves. Giving leadership is a verb, as in to give leadership to another. At the same time, it's also a noun, a certain type of leadership, like servant leadership. The essential identifying trait of giving leadership is that it's an approach to leading that is all about others rather than about the leader himself or herself. It is the leadership style of one who adopts another focus rather than a me focus. It's so easy and so tempting for a leadership position to become something one sees as a personal asset, a stepping stone toward building one's own resume, reputation, or portfolio. A giving leadership operates day to day and moment to moment from the perspective that this leadership position is a way to help build, promote, enhance, and prosper the enterprise of its people first. Here's an example of what they're talking about when they're talking about leadership and how to look at leadership. Think about it. When we are talking about leaders and being a giving leader, it's being someone who people will want to follow because they exhibit behaviors of a leader. They are encouraging. They communicate effectively. They do the things that help you to step up and make, for instance, if you're in a situation where there's a crisis and you do not know what to do, you need someone who's a giving leader because they're willing to step up to the plate and start doing what needs to be done and making sure that the project that's at hand is done correctly. That is what we're talking about when we're talking about a giving leader. A wonderful model of a go-giver leader from antiquity to Cincinnatus an aristocrat in ancient Rome who fell on hard times and lived as a farmer. When Rome was invaded, Cincinnatus was named dictator of a six-month term. He led the Roman army into battle, roundly dispatched the enemy, and then immediately resigned his office just 2 weeks into his six-month term, relinquishing his unlimited powers to go back to the field and become a farmer again. The story of Cincinnatus doesn't even end there. Years later, the same thing happened all over again. Dire invasion, hasty nomination, quick military victory, and immediate resignation to return to his farm. Twice he had the reins of absolute power in his hands and gave them over to the people once the crisis had passed. In more recent times, the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army of the American Revolution, then clearly the most widely respected man in the nation, willingly gave up his station once the war was won, declining the offer of what would have been virtually monarchical powers. George Washington was rightfully been dubbed the modern Cincinnatus. He's also a terrific example of giving leadership. Legends like that don't appear only in distant history. There are legendary leaders and examples of giving leadership right in our midst today. From Bob Chaplin to David Novak, Cat Cole, from Focus Foods to Howard Schultz, Starbucks, Herb Kelleher and Colleen Barrett, from Southwest Airlines to Nito Queeben, Great Harvest Bread Company. They're also right around the corner in your local diners and furniture store and neighborhood centers. Once you start looking for examples of giving leadership, you find they're everywhere, even in the mirror. And I'm going to quickly go through what makes a good leader. For one thing, having a great idea and assembling a team to bring that concept to life is the first step of creating a successful business venture, while finding new and unique ideas is a rare enough. The ability to successfully execute the idea is what separates the dreamers from the entrepreneurs. And this is what we're talking about. As an entrepreneur, you think about Schultz, who started Starbucks. He started with one little store in Seattle, Washington, and now it's a multi-billion dollar business across the country and even into other countries. It's just a matter of understanding what are the traits that you want to have to become a good leader. So, honesty. Whenever ethical plan you hold to yourself, when you are responsible for a team of people, it's important to raise the bar even higher. Your business and its employees are a reflection of yourself. And if you make honest and ethical behavior a key value, your team will follow suit. Delegate. Financing your brand vision is essential to creating an organized and efficient business. But if you don't learn to trust your team with that vision, you might never progress to the next stage. What that means is, do you have a strategy in place? Do you have a mission statement for your business? Do your employees know what that mission is? Do they know how to carry it out in a way that it reflects not only them, but the owner that they work for? That is the key of what you are trying to get across when you are looking at talking to your employees and helping them recognize some of the things that they are supposed to exhibit. Another thing to think about is communication. Knowing what you want accomplished needs to be expressed in a way for your employees to understand how to communicate effectively. Creativity. And the next thing to think about is positive attitude. Why is that? Because if you have a positive attitude, then the people that you lead will have a positive attitude. Intuition is another thing to think about. Why? Because if you have good intuition and you know how to lead, you can put all these things together to help your employees achieve what they want in life. Because the biggest thing that you can do is if you are a good leader, you help other people as well as yourself to reach their goals. And what I want to remind you is that you can go to my website, and that website is the number one personalcareercoach.com. And we can work with you to help you put together a strategy to get from where you are now to where you want to be in the future, whether that's in your personal life, whether that's in your business endeavors, because you know how you get and how you achieve your goals depends on whether or not you communicate effectively, whether you have a positive attitude, whether you are honest and hold yourself up to a higher power and help you reach the goals that you want for your business now.